Welcome to Bible Studies for Life Adult Podcast. I'm Lynn Pryor, and I'm glad you joined me for this podcast. And with me, ever faithful sidekick, is Chris Johnson. Chris, glad you're here.
Thanks, Lynn. Good to see you. It is a beautiful, sunshiny day in Middle Tennessee, so we're enjoying today.
Yes, and here we are inside a building doing podcasting. just the nature of how things go. But joining Chris and I is Christina Zimmerman. Christina is the content editor for our U curriculum. And if you're not familiar with the U curriculum, hang on. We're going to tell you about it at the end of this podcast. But Christina, for right now, glad you joined us.
It is so good to be with you fellows today. I'm looking forward to this lesson.
It is always good, Christina, to have you as a part of our podcast. Thank you for joining us. So we are in the second week of a study called Essentials of Christianity. We are going to focus today on the purpose of humanity. Last week, we talked about God as Father, Son, and Spirit, and the whole Trinitarian dynamic. And so this week, we're going to talk about us, talking about man. Not everything about man, because we'll save some of that for next week. So we do want to springboard out of some things that Robbie Gallaty talked about. And one of the things that he did to introduce this session was to talk about chores, household responsibilities that he has that he is not so fond of. And I think that that would be interesting for us to talk about a little bit. I know I probably don't do much around the house, but occasionally I will throw in and help with the dishes. And one of the things that I find in our household is my wife and I could not be any more opposite in everything in our lives. And one of those things is how I do the dishes. I tend to make more of a mess than I have water sprayed everywhere, and I have to clean up after cleaning up. I hate to do it, but I think she hates me doing it more, but she allows me to occasionally because it maybe makes things a little easier for her. I try not to force her to have to do any extra work. Lyd, you got anything kind of, now, Christina, I'm assuming you have some responsibilities.
I have a lot of responsibilities at home, a lot, more than I would like. As a matter of fact, you know, I was thinking, just as you were talking, Chris, it would be wonderful to not have to do any work at all at home. And the only way we can do that is to live on the Enterprise on Star Trek.
There you go.
All of those technical conveniences, you know, talk to the door, it opens, use a little robot. And they have those today to clean your floor. And all you do is just sit and enjoy life. So
that's right. You never see someone in a red shirt with a vacuum cleaner on Star Trek. You're right. Wow.
That's now, Chris, right.
Now, I'm going to pick on Chris just for a minute because he said this in a way. He's assuming, Christina, because you're a woman, you do have chores, and we guys don't.
So, you know, I was going to ignore that, man. You brought that up. But, Chris, you did say that.
Yeah, that probably has more to do with there's not any chauvinism involved in it. It's just an awareness of the weakness and how horrible we are as men. And I'm just assuming that Harry's right there in the middle of that with us as well.
Absolutely. I'm so glad he's not in the room right now.
Well, my wife will probably disagree, but we share a whole lot of the responsibilities. Now, there are certain things she does, but there's also things I do. Most of the time I do the laundry and ironing. I clean the kitchen, but there's some things we share there. But I think my least favorite thing, just go back to Robbie's question, it's not making the bed. We do that every day. No joke. It's the changing the sheets. Oh, I'm going to find some excuse to not to be in the room when Mary pulls out clean sheets.
But you are a great one, Lynn. If you have all of those responsibilities and you actually do them.
Oh, folks, my wife just walked into the room where I'm podcasting and she's giving me the look.
That is so good. I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you, Mary. So
we better just move on, okay?
So what's the point of all of this, Lynn?
what is the point? Well, we're talking about God's creation and how we are created. Of course, God's creation is whole, but with this, we're going to focus on that God's created us in his image with this idea. We're to serve him and to honor him. So we think of chores as kind of a bad thing. And many of them, they are kind of hard, but we were created to do work in a way that serves and honors God. That's our focus today. So we're going to actually be, as you know, surprise here, we're going to talk about creation. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1. And let me just give a caveat here. We're going to look at the first five verses to talk about God's creation in general. Now, with that, you realize, if you remember Genesis 1, we're really focusing on day one. And it's not that what happens on days 2 through 5, 2 through 6 are unimportant, but it's really for the sake of time in our Bible studies. We want to look at God's creation of light, day one, and use that to see the pattern of how he did the following days. Okay, so please don't riot and complain. Why didn't we talk about the other days of creation? They are important too. But let me just read this one verse. Starts out the whole of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in that single statement, there it is. God created everything.
It's interesting that Robbie Gallaty begins the conversation about those words in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, by talking about the context that these words were written to Israel, who lived in a place where they were surrounded by pagans. And it was, it seems clear that it was written to remind these people who all around them lived people who had all kinds of different views about the gods and creation, to establish that the one and only God that they served is the creator. Boy, you know, in Paul's sermon in Athens, we're going to talk about it in a few weeks, Paul does the same thing. He addresses specifically that this unknown God that you have a statue to, he is the creator of the whole world. It's important for us to understand that the significance of that statement to the people, the original hearers of this message, as well as to us.
Yes, you know, Chris, this made me think also that history is did not leave, you know, because there was a time when people believed that we evolved. And I think that that's still a common belief today among some people, is that evolution was very real in their lives. And even when they were confronted with the truth and the evidence was strong that God created the world, they refused to accept it. I just recently read a book about that, and it was amazing to me that it was clear. I mean, if you, and I know it was at one time debated in a court, but if you stacked up the evidence of God's creation of the world and that he created the world, and the evidence about evolution, then the creation story would trump, it would be the solution that was real.
Sure. You know, and we talk about opponents to Christianity and creationism, they make a big deal. They just kind of laugh it off, says, oh, well, you just have faith, I have science. I contend that it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe there is a God who created it.
Not faith in God, but faith in, it's a leap of faith to believe in evolution. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. It takes more faith to believe what they believe, that it all just happened by chance without God, as it does to believe there is a God. There's just so many gaps and just so many, discrepancies. And I just like the fact that God tells us he created it. And I'm good with that. And I love the detail he gives us in this opening chapter, just of the process he created, as he lays it out there.
Again, Robbie Gallaty points out that Jesus was very much a part of the creative process in John 1:1 and 2, in the prologue to John's gospel. It's made clear that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God, and he created everything. Everything was created by him and for him, is what Paul says in in Colossians, he follows that up as well to say that Jesus is the creator and sustainer of life. So there's that New Testament connection that's important for us to make as we talk about this.
Sure. Now, this study, too, is not strictly about creation. What we're really focusing on is God's creation of humanity and the purpose behind our creation. So we're going to skip down in Genesis 1, down to verse 26. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. They will rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, and the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female.
So the idea of the image of God, I think, is what jumps out at me is the thing that would give us the opportunity to have a conversation in our groups this week to talk about what that means and the significance of that statement.
Well, in fact, one of the questions we have, at least in the adult resource I'm looking at, is why is it significant that we were created in the image of God? That would be a good discussion.
Yeah, it would. You know, and I can answer that from my own experience. I remember having a seminary professor that tried to help us to understand that. He said that being made in the image of God means that we have value, a special quality also that sets us apart from everything else that God has made. And that quality is that we have dignity.
Wow.
And he said, you know, for example, if a fly was buzzing around his head, he would swat the fly and nothing would be said about that. But if a dog came in and the dog was nipping at him, he would kick the dog, and some people may say something, but not very much. But if a man came in and this man was, you know, giving him grief or problems and he caused bodily harm to this person, then he may be arrested, go to jail, people will be upset or something like that because of the dignity of a human being. So, you know, he kind of used different levels there to show that we were above everything that God had made in the dignity category.
I like that. I like that. I think that one of the things that Robbie does is he talks about the fact that we were being created in the image of God means that we were made with something the rest of the creation doesn't have. So he talked about our ability to reason, to create, to process morality, to adapt to the things in our culture and world, and that we were created as God's representative. So it's kind of a compilation of all of those things as part of what it means to be created in the image of God.
I think it would sure help if not we just reflect on the fact that we are made in the image of God, but that person sitting across from me or that person I'm talking to or that person that annoys me, they too are made in the image of God. And let's be frank here, you know, I think we could sure address a whole lot of racial tension if we would see the other person, not by their ethnicity, their color, or any race, anything, but first of all, see that person is made in the image of God. Well, if the church, if we as the church in America would do that and be the representatives in how we treat other people, that would be phenomenal. We are all made in the image of God.
That is,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's right. That's good, Lynn. I like that.
Well, I'm going to start preaching here in a minute, so let me move us on. As we see this, as we're created in the image of God, we also want to see, this is how we state it, God commissioned us to care for and enjoy his creation. So right after the account where God said he created us in his image, verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that moves on the ground." And there's implication in that is we care for it. We don't just take advantage of it, but we care for it and we enjoy it.
I would guess that it would be interesting in every group to give consideration to the different views represented in the room of how we view creation and our responsibilities to be responsible for the creation. I think there's a lot of different levels within the church as to how that's interpreted and understood.
Right. You know, when I looked at this, I started thinking about an old commercial years ago of an Indian who, when he saw that pollution of the litter on the ground, he started crying, or tears rolled down his cheek. And, you know, I kind of get that same feeling. My husband and I take a lot of road trips. And when I see trash on the side of the road, I think about how sad that looks and what it's doing to the beautiful creation that God has made.
Exactly.
And go ahead, Lynn.
Well, some people think, well, that's what it means to subdue the earth. We're in charge. We can do what we want with it. But I think there's wise stewardships that we should do. Do what we can to, now I'm not opposed to cutting down trees. I'm a woodworker. You got to have the wood. But at the same time, you want to be responsible too. We should be wise in how we use what God has given us.
Good word. I think one of the things that I was interested in is that, he talked about in the creation that God made is to be enjoyed. And I think there'll be a lot of people in our groups that will be able to relate to that, from just enjoying nature to just being out to activities that they enjoy, hiking, boating, other kind of things like that. This is all that God made for us, and he wants us to enjoy the creation that he has given to us.
Well said.
All right. So this is this wraps up our conversation in this podcast about the fact that God created us as humans to serve and honor him. And we want to be respectful of our responsibilities to do that. We're going to talk in the future about sin and how what God created has been marred by decisions that have been made. We'll talk about that in coming weeks, but this gives us a good springboard into talking about creation and God's initial and ultimate desire for us. So we want to thank you who are listening to this podcast. We do this for you. We hope this is helpful to you. Hope that it starts your process of thinking through what's going to happen in your group. I know some of you use this to share with group members after you have met. So it just kind of reinforces some things. So either way that you use this, we hope it's beneficial and want you to take advantage of multiple ways to share this information and encourage people in your groups to use it as well. And we thank you for being a part of this. Christina, Lynn, thank you guys. Christina, we want to talk a little bit about the curriculum that you work on, you, and then also if you're a leader of a group, we have some tips for you that Christina is going to share with you. So we'll let Lynn and Christina talk about those things now.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Chris. Yes. In Bible Studies for Life, I dare say you're probably familiar with the fact that we're unique in the sense that we are an age group curriculum, even just in the adult arena, because we have a young adult resource for Bible Studies for Life. We have, as Chris works on, a senior adult resource, but we also have a resource that's uniquely geared to the urban church and the Black church. And now it's not called Bible Studies for Life in that sense, like our other products. It's called You. Y-O-U. And U looks at the same studies, uses many of the same questions that we do in the other Bible Studies for Life titles, but it's geared, as I said, to the urban, to the African-American church. Christina leads the team that pulls that together. Christina, anything unique you want to tell us about the U curriculum?
Yes, Lynn, there is something I'd like to add. Even though U uses the outlines of Bible Studies for Life, we are seeking to develop our own personality, our own characteristics. And so recently we have just begun a blog This blog is developed and maintained by me as the content editor and the director of Black Church Ministries, Mark Crosston. Now, the URL for the blog is u.lifeway.com.
Okay.
But you can find other information for the U material at lifeway.com/u.
Okay. u.lifeway.com.
u.lifeway.com. Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for that. Now, Christina, do you have a tip for us as teachers, group leaders?
I do. I have a brief teaching tip for the leaders or teachers in the Sunday school classes. And it's this: don't be afraid of silence.
Wow.
Many leaders or teachers find it difficult when no one responds to a question that they've asked. Don't be afraid of the silence. Some people need a few minutes to just process what you've asked or to just think through a response. So just give a little moment of silence, so to speak, and just be patient. Also, one other tip: avoid asking simple yes or no questions.
Good point.
Ask open-ended questions that need some sort of response. But if you do ask a yes or no question, follow it up with why or why not, or explain your answer. Those are just brief tips for leaders.
So it's obvious that Lynn and I are both very uncomfortable with silence. We don't want any dead air. You mentioned silence and we jumped in and started talking. But you are absolutely correct that sometimes it's important in a group setting to ask a question and then wait.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, you have to remember that they probably have an answer waiting for you. But if you jump right into something, you're going to miss something important that they would have to say.
Yeah, as leaders, we've thought it through and we kind of know where we're going. And sometimes people are hearing things for the very first time. So they do need a moment to process. Sure. Lynn?
We live in this media-driven world. And, you know, television, and that is one of the big no-nos in TV, dead air. And so you fill every moment up with something. And even in church life, for years we were at a church where we were on television live. And so you did not want dead air. So I've gotten used to that. And so even when we sit in our groups, when you ask a question, there's that dead air that all of us who are TV viewers, we're not used to. And there's value to let them have time to think about it. So yes. Thank you, Christina. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
All right. Always. It's always good to have Christina with us, Lynn, and thank you for your leadership in this podcast. We thank you most of all who are listening to this podcast. Thank you for being a part of Bible Studies for Life adult podcast. Thank you for listening and hope that this has been beneficial and helpful to you, and look forward to having you back with us next time.